Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I first spoke to you a year ago as Bosnia-Herzegovina was facing the challenges of transition. Transition by the Bosnian authorities towards ownership, towards exercising the rights and responsibilities of a democracy, and towards becoming a functioning European state. The international community was also facing the challenges of transition, handing over the reins to the Bosnian government, not doing their job for them, and there are difficult decisions to make, but standing close by to assist, advise, and guide where needed. Ownership is a difficult learning process, as recent experience has shown. An election year that saw nationalistic rhetoric and ideological arguments, research has proven this. The ongoing prominence of discussions about events of the recent past, about who is to blame and who are the victims, has created a hostile political environment. And finally, the long, difficult process of government formation took many months. The result of all this is that political reforms have now been blocked in Bosnia-Herzegovina for over a year. That does not mean that the ownership path is wrong, but that is a warning we should not ignore. A warning that transition cannot be taken for granted, that the Bosnian authorities must increase efforts to live up to their responsibilities to govern their own country, and that serious long-term international engagement must continue. Last June, the Peace Implementation Council took a decision in principle to close the office of the High Representative in June 2007. This was done in the context of positive developments and solid progress in Bosnia-Herzegovina towards joining the EU and NATO. But nationalist and backward-looking rhetoric on all sides did not recede after the elections last autumn. Political tensions increased through continued confrontational attitudes by the leaders in both Republika Srpska and the Federation. And tensions continue to rise this year following reactions to the judgment of the International Court of Justice, which some politicians have sought to exploit. As my concerns for the political stability of Bosnia and Herzegovina grew, I discussed the situation with members of the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board. And after in-depth consultations with capitals and with the Bosnian authorities, I recommended to the Peace Implementation Council to continue the office of High Representative based on the situation in Bosnia-Herzegovina and the region. The Peace Implementation Council agreed with the aim to close by 30th of June 2008, with refuse in October 2007 and February 2008. The continuation of the Office of the High Representative is intended to assist Bosnia and Herzegovina make those final but significant steps from peace implementation to Euro-Atlantic integration as soon as possible. Progress can come soon if the politicians step up to the task. Bosnia and Herzegovina has a unique chance and a historic window of opportunity to move an important step closer to Europe. Its leaders must seize this moment. The EU has approved the text of stabilization and association agreement with Bosnia-Herzegovina, and the agreement is ripe to be initiated, but political conditions must be met. Concrete progress is urgently needed on police reform, and full cooperation with the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. European Commissioner Rehn reminded Bosnian leaders again last week of the urgent need to overcome their differences and show real unity for the country to progress towards the European Union. Party leaders came close to compromise solution on police reform on two occasions, but a solid agreement was prevented by a lack of political will, by an unwillingness to make compromises for the sake of the country as a whole, and by a lack of vision to make the changes that will serve their citizens better and bring them closer to Europe. On the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, coordination has improved between relevant law enforcement agencies in Bosnia-Herzegovina. However, the remaining fugitives, chiefly Mladic and Karadzic, remain at large. The International Court of Justice judgment confirmed the essential obligations of the Republic of Serbia to cooperate fully with the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. Let me be clear. Serbia has not delivered on this obligation. Serbia was found guilty of not preventing genocide. Serbia should be active in supporting the International Criminal Tribunal to carry out its mandate to prosecute those responsible for this genocide. This is more than a moral and ethical obligation. It has significant implications for the stability of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the region. And against this background, and in my capacity as High Representative, I wrote to President Tadic of Serbia last month. I asked him to inform me of measures being taken. However, President Tadic did not write in response. I would ask the United Nations Security Council to remind all parties to the General Framework Agreement for Peace to comply with their obligation to cooperate with the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. I would also ask you to take note of the fact that no results have been forthcoming since the International Court of Justice, another principal organ of the United Nations, issued its judgment over 2 months ago. I believe that the Security Council needs to consider very seriously how Serbia can be brought to implement the ICJ judgment. Again, this is a matter of stability in the region, and the Security Council must live up to its responsibilities in this regard. Radical rhetoric has poisoned the political environment, and the issue of Srebrenica has returned to the headlines. There has been ruthless political manipulation of the issues by politicians motivated by their own ambitions. This only distracts from the real issues that require concrete action. I have appointed an envoy, the former U.S. Ambassador Clifford Bond, to play a coordinating role with local actors on the ground, political leaders, and the international community. We have set up a high-level coordination mechanism between the relevant local authorities supported by the international community. Key recommendations are being developed to improve the situation in real terms. The Bosnian authorities must carry out their responsibilities and ensure concrete measures are taken to improve conditions in the area. That's about justice, law enforcement institutions doing their work. It is also about the rights of returnees being upheld. And it's about economic livelihood and decent social standards being restored to the region. But it is not about changing the constitutional and territorial order of Bosnia-Herzegovina. A unilateral change of the Dayton Peace Agreement would pose grave risks to the peace and stability. And the Security Council should consider making this point very clear. The International Court of Justice verdict acknowledged that genocide occurred in Srebrenica And Srebrenica was the United Nations' safe area. The United Nations had special responsibilities for the people of Srebrenica. And I would like to take this opportunity to urge you to establish a UN Day of Srebrenica to commemorate the tragic events that occurred there in 1995 and to pay respect to the victims of genocide and their families. And I would like to take this opportunity to urge the leaders of Bosnia and Herzegovina to act responsibly and constructively to improve the situation on the ground in the Srebrenica area. And they can do it, as events last weekend showed. Constructive cooperation between the relevant authorities of all levels of government, with international community on hand to facilitate, ensured that the families of victims were able to bury their loved ones in peace and dignity in Bratunac. And that happened on the last Saturday, and we all were very happy how it was done. But such a constructive cooperation is needed on a wider level across the country. It is high time that Bosnian leaders return to discussing concrete actions for all its citizens across political, social, and economic issues. Economic reforms are not completed on paper or in practice. Necessary laws for local and foreign investment are not yet in place. More effective efforts are needed to implement reforms of public administration and public broadcasting. An education reform requires serious engagement by the Bosnian authorities, supported by the international community. This lies at the heart of the country's regeneration and prospects for the future. I would like to remind you of a simple word that stands at the entrance to Kabul Museum. A nation is alive if its culture is alive. These words were recently praised by a director from the United Nations Institute for Training and Research, who recommended that the far-reaching implications of these simple words should become the mantra of all aspiring nation builders. And despite the concern blockages, there is a positive difference between where Bosnia and Herzegovina stood when I took over on 31st January 2006 and where it stands now. There have been steps forward. Bosnia and Herzegovina held elections last October in line with international democratic standards. Though government formation was a long and partly frustrating process, it was carried out by the Bosnian politicians without international intervention. Such are the painful learning experiences that accompany the lessons of ownership. Bosnia and Herzegovina joined NATO Partnership for Peace program last December. This recognized key achievements in the field of defense reform and marks a significant step forward on the path to Euro-Atlantic integration. In regional development, Bosnia and Herzegovina has the opportunity to play a central role. Last December, Bosnia and Herzegovina joined other countries in the region to sign the CEFTA agreement to create a free trade area in southeastern Europe. This economic and political achievement should promote economic development and contribute to stability. Just last week, the Regional Cooperation Council, until now known as the Stability Pact, decided to have its seat in Sarajevo, placing Bosnia and Herzegovina at the heart of the regional integration. There has been movement on other long-standing issues too. In particular, I would like to thank the United Nations Security Council for its constructive role in issuing a presidential letter on 30th of April on the issue of police officers denied certification by the United Nations International Police Task Force. To reach such a solution, my staff worked together with the institutions of Bosnia and Herzegovina for several years. I would also like to commend the Council of Europe, the EU Police Mission, the Department of Peacekeeping Operations, and the UK Presidency of the United Nations Security Council. I am confident that the authorities of Bosnia and Herzegovina will abide by their international obligations and carry out the provision of the UN Security Council presidential letter. It is my understanding that the UN Security Council expects the decision taken by the Bosnian government last December to establish a national review commission to be annulled. The Office of the High Representative stands ready to assist with implementation. Finally, I would like to emphasize one significant reform that remains without progress. One of the most difficult, yet one of the most important, and one that leaders of Bosnia and Herzegovina urgently need to start, constitutional reform. It will not be solved quickly, but it is my strong conviction that this reform is critical to ensuring Bosnia and Herzegovina serves its citizens better and becomes an effective, functioning state capable of full membership in Euro-Atlantic institutions. I believe that Bosnia and Herzegovina needs to establish a constitutional reform process within its own institutions that will provide the political parties, parliament, and wider society with a forum for both substantive debate and technical preparations on the complex issues involved. Of course, the leaders of Bosnia and Herzegovina need to take full ownership of any process to reform their own constitution. And Europe and the United States stand together as partners with authorities of Bosnia and Herzegovina to advise on standards and share our experience and expertise with them. I hope that party leaders will agree to establish a process. I intend to start political talks and work to set this process in motion during my remaining time in office. In conclusion, the road to Europe must be unblocked. Police reform must be agreed so that the stabilization and association agreement can be signed and implemented. The remaining indictees must be urgently transferred to the Hague Tribunal. Constitutional reform must be set on track. Transition must be completed. It's time for the Bosnian leaders to step up to the plate. Of course, the international community must not waver from this commitment to assist. It must continue actively its policy of advising and guiding the Bosnian authorities to the point where the Office of High Representative is no longer needed. And Europe, above all, must understand the real responsibility that comes with supporting Bosnia and Herzegovina on its journey towards the European Union. Moreover, Europe must appreciate and respond to the complex and unique demands of assisting European integration in Bosnia and Herzegovina. There remain many challenges in this critical period when Bosnia and Herzegovina tries to stand up fully on its own two feet. The international community should not look away or get impatient at this point, even though its role is changing. The job is not yet done. There will be a further hurdles and obstacles. But Bosnia and Herzegovina's progress towards Euro-Atlantic integration will be determined by its own achievements and those alone. It is your responsibility that it is not decided by outside factors. And there are many challenges for the newly elected Bosnian government. There will be many challenges also for my successor, Ambassador Lajčak of Slovakia, who was appointed by the PIC steering board last week and to whom I will hand over in July. I would like to thank the Security General and the Security Council for the support I have received during my mandate. I've been engaged in Bosnia-Herzegovina for 15 years in various roles, and it has been a particular honor to serve there as High Representative and EU Representative. I shall continue to assist in whatever way I can. I fully intend to stay close to Bosnia-Herzegovina, a country I have come to know and love so well. I will watch closely and share its journey as it travels on the challenging but promising path to a brighter future. Thank you.